on them today.
That's all right. That's okay. Just focus on us. That's cool. But we've been talking about peace and how Jesus came to give us peace. He was born to be the Prince of Peace. We have focused the series on this verse from Isaiah chapter 9. It's in verse 6, and it says, this was the messianic prophecy from Isaiah. It says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If you missed the beginning of this series, we really talked about what that word peace meant and what it means. And we talked about how that word peace is actually formed out of the Hebrew word called shalom. And Jesus came to be our shalom, which is the power to overthrow the authority that holds chaos. And so really, when people were expecting the Messiah to come, they were expecting this mighty warrior to overthrow a Roman government. And Jesus shows up to overthrow the kingdom of darkness who brings chaos in our lives. That's the Jesus we serve. And we've been talking about like what true peace looks like in our homes, in our finances, in our time. How many of you were challenged last week by Pastor Cherie? Yeah. In our time, I told her, I'm like, I might need to come to your life group, right? But true peace is supernatural. It goes beyond human capabilities. You and I cannot attain peace by our own works, by things that we do. The only way to have this true shalom peace, to get rid of chaos, to overthrow it, is through Jesus and his presence in our lives, right? If you have missed any of these messages, I want to encourage you to go back and listen to them. You can find links online, on Facebook, on the different podcasts. They're just audible. They're not video, okay? And you can go back to the Facebook page, Hope City's Facebook page, and find those links. You know, I have certain expectations of how I want things to look like in my life, how I would like things to go in my life, right? I have expectations of how I would like different relationships in my life to work. I have different expectations of how I'll do my job. I'm very aware that people have expectations of me. And while it's not bad to have expectations, everyone in here has expectations, right? Our expectations must submit to the peace, the shalom of Jesus. Amen. Do you hear that? Our expectations have to be submissive to Jesus. In Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9, I want to read this to you out of the Passion Translation. It's really good. It says, within your heart, you can make plans for the future, but the Lord chooses the steps to get you there. How many of you just love being in control? Come on, be honest. How many of us are like, control's my thing, and I like to know what's coming, and I like to know what's next, and I like to know the steps that are going to... Dude, me too. I used to be that person. I used to be you. Ask my sister. She used to call me like Miss Planner. Like, I have to have everything like in line. Da-da-da. And God had to really talk to me about, hey, it's not a bad thing. It's okay to make plans for the future. That's fine. But you have to be willing to submit your plans to me. And if I have different ideas on how to get you there, or maybe I don't want you going there in the first place, to be okay with that. And all of us in the room that like to have a whole cleared out plan and diagram and like plan on how you're going to get there are like, I hate this message already. Right? I know. I love you, Jeff. I love you. Jeff is over there like, don't talk about my diagrams. Okay? It's okay to have expectations. That's not wrong. The problem comes when our expectations rule us and control us and absolutely ruin us when things don't happen the way that they should. There are a lot of expectations during the Christmas season. There's so many expectations that a lot of people, maybe some of you in this room, have come to the point that I don't really like Christmas. Because all of these false expectations have started falling on us during this Christmas season, like gifts and what I should buy for people and how I should respond when people give me gifts, like family gatherings. For some of you, family gatherings, like the thought of gathering with your family makes you like, ugh, I just am already preparing. I know it, okay? I'm thankful that that's not me. Social gatherings, like work parties, right? Food preparations. There's all these expectations that can make us super uptight and nervous and just ready for it all to be over. Guys, that's not why Christmas is here. That's not why we come into this season of Christmas. Isaiah prophesied that this season is supposed to be surrounded by peace, calmness. A supernatural expectation of something great. And if you find yourself getting all wound up in an inner turmoil over other things, then you know that chaos is trying to rob you of what really Christmas is supposed to be. It is really easy to let chaos creep in and ruin this beautiful time of year. It's beautiful. This time of year that is supposed to invoke reflection and gratitude and joy, and it's really easy for us to be like, oh, I can't wait till it's over. Huh? But what if we just released our expectations or people's expectations of us to the Prince of Peace? What if we trusted the Prince of Peace? That's Jesus. What if we trusted him to do actually what he says he'll do? What if we trusted him to be exactly who it was prophesied, who he says he is? Look at Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to look at verses 2 and 5. Another prophecy about Jesus that Isaiah shared. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. You will enlarge the nation of Israel. You know what? Insert your name there. Instead of Israel, insert your name, because that's what this prophecy is meant. It's supposed to be a personal thing. You'll enlarge the nation of Israel, and its people will rejoice. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest and like warriors dividing the plunder. For you will break the yoke of their slavery and lift the heavy burden from their shoulders. You will break the oppressor's rod, just as you did when you destroyed the army of Midian, The boots of the warrior and the uniforms bloodstained by war will all be burned. They will be fuel for the fire. Thank you. That is how I felt when I read this. Because what Isaiah is saying is like, hey, the fighting, the discord, the chaos is done. It's fuel for the fire of Jesus. And he shows up on the scene and he says, hi, shalom. Your expectations, the expectations of you, I'll take them. Let's talk a little bit about those expectations.
You know, and the thing is about shalom peace, it really works. Like when you walk out of the four walls of this church, you're going to be able to tap into shalom peace this year, and it'll change your holidays. It'll change really your trajectory for 2023. We're getting ready to launch into a new year. And when you come to this, I think laying our expectations out to God and saying, God, these are my expectations. What do you want to do? God, I give them to you, Lord. As I walk into this next year, I give them to you. Because what happens is when you have expectations that are not God's, then it's easy to become disappointed. And what happens is the enemy comes along and goes, great, look at God didn't meet your expectations, and you become disappointed. Because the enemy's always trying to teach you that God's not good and that he doesn't care about you. And what God is saying is if you'll trust me, even with your expectations, I'm going to take you in a path that's best for you. If you'll hand it over to me, if you'll allow me, and you know what, you hear us talk about this stuff a lot. The Bible says we need to be reminded of this over and over and over again. Some of the most simple things in Scripture we forget when we're in the middle of the battle. And so you might go, well, I already know this stuff. So my answer is, are you practicing it? Have you put it in? Because see, the Bible tells us to not only be hearers of the word, but doers. And so we want to challenge you in the doing aspect today. So when you go home, you have peace. So you hand over those expectations. And I would challenge you in the next couple of days to sit down with God and say, God, what expectations do I have that are not of you? And then release them. Expectations of your family, expectations of how you think God's going to work. I want to tell you something. Our expectations love to put God in a box, and God says, I'll never be in a box. I'll never be in a box. So if you will trust him, and that's the big key with your expectations, God wants to do something incredible. And as I was on my way to church this morning, I really felt there's a message in this for the guys especially. Guys that are in the room, we deal with things internally. We don't ever, like, we can compartmentalize, and we can be in inner turmoil and no one even knows it. You might have a smile on your face, but you're in inner turmoil. And guys, this message is for you today. You need to experience that peace. Open up the compartmentalized area where you've been stuffing all this junk and say, God, take it. I want to have peace in my heart. This is for the guys as much, and the girl, the ladies too, but guys especially, because I think we try to deal with stuff on our own and we don't allow God in to help. And as long as you want to deal with it on your own, he'll let you. For the guys in the room, I think we need to get alone with our Savior, our Father, and say, God, what is it in my life that you want to change? Because you might think that that's not coming out on anyone, but everyone around you knows you're frustrated, you're cranky, you're grumpy, you're not enjoying things. That's how guys deal with stuff. We have two emotions. We're either happy or mad or frustrated, maybe three. Very simple to understand a guy. Right? But everyone around you knows it, so stop hiding it and let God into the deepest areas of your heart to deal with it. Because it's coming out on everyone. So guys especially. But here's point number one. I can only control myself. We talk about this thing about control. I can only control myself. Trying to control everything and everyone will steal your peace quickly, and it'll make you so tired. When the reality is we realize we control very little in our lives. We have to come to the conclusion that the only thing or the person that we can control is ourselves. You have to make a choice on how you're going to act and how you're going to respond to others. There's a word called self-control that our society has lost, but it's so important. Part of control is self-control. And listen to what Proverbs 25:25 says. If you live without restraint and are unable to control your temper, you're as helpless as a city with broken down defenses open to attack. You wonder why the enemy's attacking you? What if it's right there? You wonder, I hear people all the time, oh, I'm just under attack. And I go, well, is it because you brought it on yourself? If you live without restraint, the NLT version says self-control, and are unable to control your temper, you're as helpless as a city with broken down defenses open to attack. The world tells us we don't need to control ourselves. The Bible says you better do it or you're open to attack. And I would say this, you open your family up to attack. You open yourself up to chaos. I want to give you an example. If we don't practice self-control with our tongue, which is hard to do, some of our tongues, the Bible says it's the hardest thing to control. It's the rudder of our life, right? If we don't control our tongue, we open ourselves up to the attack of the enemy. And here's what I want to say. The Bible tells us the power of life and death is in the tongue. The enemy does not know what you're thinking until you speak it out. Get this for just a moment. Because you're literally giving him ammo to attack you more when you speak it out. Oh, I don't have enough finances. The enemy goes, good, I'm getting him in finances, and I'm going to take him down. Oh, man, all my relationships are broken. Good. You are speaking it out. You have to start speaking life over your situation, and it will literally stop the attacks of the enemy. But you have to control this. Oh, but I'm just a verbal processor. There are no exceptions. And I have to, because I'm a verbal processor, so I get it. Right? But I'm just so frustrated. I need to, no, take it to God and don't say a word, because self-control means there's power of life and death in the tongue, and that's what's going to change. I hate my job and everybody that's there. Great. So you're going to go tomorrow, and it's going to be a major attack. God placed you there for a purpose, and you better start figuring out what that is. Control that tongue. Well, I just have to let everyone know. No, you don't. Nope. Nope. Well, I'm a realist. I need to speak in reality. And that's my reality. Nope. Stop. Right there. Mm-mm. No, you didn't. Well, I just have the gift of criticism. There is no spiritual gift called criticism. Well, I'm just a negative person. Stop using all the excuses, because it's giving you a natural way for the enemy to attack you. And until you stop it and you say no more, you're wide open to attack. The power of life and death in the tongue. Control that tongue. You don't need to bring reality to a situation. Everybody already knows it. Well, I'm the one that I just see stuff and I have to say it. No, you don't. In fact, I want to tell you something. Listening to it too puts you in that same spot. So some of us need to be shutting down some people in our lives saying, I don't want any of it. I don't want any of it. How many times do we open our lives up to the attack of the enemy because of our choices, our expectations? We lack self-control and then blame it on the enemy and wonder why we have no peace. No one can steal your peace unless you let them. Let me say it again. No one can steal your peace unless you let them. You're the one that keeps peace in your heart. And the minute you start to feel peace slip, that's a sign you got to get in his presence. That's a sign. God told me this morning, you want peace, get in my presence. Say it again. You want peace, get in my presence. But so many of us are so busy, we don't have time for that. And in these next couple of weeks, I challenge you. I triple dog dare you to put aside some time for God. You know, I was convicted. I was on a prayer call yesterday with some Holy Spirit Catholic ladies, and God, they told me, they said to me, God is begging for you to take some time with him. Whew. That hit me. That hit me, because I've been so busy. God is begging you, and I'm saying that to you today. God is begging you to spend some time with him. Normally, people who have been hurt deeply struggle with control. You try to control everything. There's things like you say, God, I'm never going to be hurt like that again, so I'm going to control it. And you know what that means? It means that God needs to heal your heart. You need to forgive, because you're holding on to unforgiveness. When you get around family members and all of a sudden you feel this, that's a sign you need to forgive them. I don't care what they did. But Pastor Jason, you don't understand. I don't care. Because listen, holding on to unforgiveness is like you drinking the poison expecting the other person to die. And in that moment, you try to control. And listen, I know hurt is real. I know being around family, it can hurt really bad. But I'm telling you, Jesus, who gave us the example of forgiveness, he got hurt really bad too. And I'm telling you, if you'll let it go, but you don't understand what they did to me, let it go. Give it to God. So much, God's saying, listen, I'll take care of it. And what happens is control becomes a false protector, and there's a good chance the enemy's using it to steal your peace. Because what happens is you start to build walls around your heart, and we've talked to you about this before, but those walls become so high that God can't even get into. And he wants to start to pull those walls down. You can trust him with your heart. And that's part of this sign. Always having to be in control is a sign. It's like that warning sign on your gauge, like, okay, I need to do something. If there's something that hurt you or somebody that hurt you, forgive them. Don't allow this person to steal your peace anymore.
So, yeah, the only one you can control is yourself, right? And so when we show up to gatherings and there's these expectations, like, you have this internal expectation like, oh, things are always so tense with this certain family member, this
Speaking
certain
it,
coworker, right? Well, here's an idea, the second point of today. Instead of like being negative, why don't we invite other people into our peace? If we are living in that shalom peace and letting Jesus, like, be the Prince of Peace in our life, why don't we just invite other people along with us? Well, because I don't want to spend that much time with them. Well, they probably don't want to spend that much time with you either, because sometimes you're a jerk.
Hey, guess what happens? What happens when they have to live next to him in heaven?
Right.
I'm just saying.
So what if this Christmas, when you show up or people show up to your house, what if we do things a little differently? What if instead of dreading the drama, we kill the chaos?
I think right? You should say that again.
Okay. What if instead of dreading the drama, we kill the chaos? Right? What if instead of being consumed with anxiety, we invite people to know the Prince of Peace? You don't understand, Paula. These people drive me crazy. Well, I understand that. I think Paul understood it too, because he talked about it in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 18. Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I left these blue words I highlighted for a specific person. Love each other with genuine affection. That doesn't mean you have to agree with their behaviors. It doesn't mean you have to agree with how they talk. But you can still love them with genuine affection and take delight in honoring them. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble and keep on praying. So when you feel that, like, oh gosh, they're about ready to say something, oh, we're just going to pray. Okay, Jesus, just help me. Help me to, like, keep my cool. Help me to have self-control right now. Help me to show them your peace, right? Be patient. Keep praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Guys, this is a big one right here. Because you might think, like, well, I don't do voodoo. I'm not cursing anyone. Anything negative that comes out of your mouth towards another person is a curse. Let me say that one more time. Anything negative that comes out of your mouth towards another person is a curse. Words have jobs to do. When they leave our mouth, they have a job to do. The power of life or death is in our tongue. So don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. Does that mean we're going to like spend all of our spare time with people that drive us crazy? No. But when there are times that we have to be together or that we get to be together, let's go out of our way to live in harmony. Let's not add, we're going to kill the chaos. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, all of us who are so good and haughty and mighty. Don't be I don't want to be with them. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Let's kill the chaos.
Go back one slide. Can you guys in the back? Because there's a line that hit me. Serve the Lord enthusiastically. Oh, I have to go to church this morning. I have to. How about some enthusiasm? God, I love that I get to serve you. I love that I get to love people. Let's get enthusiastic about Jesus. Let's get enthusiastic about the opportunity that we have to serve him. Let's get I want you to be as enthusiastic as you go into your favorite sports team. I've seen some of you, and I've seen some of you watch, and I've never seen you be that enthusiastic here as you are watching those football games. And you know it. I'm only a fair weather fan. I only watch when the teams are winning, so I don't watch any other time. I barely watch then. But serve the Lord enthusiastically. Like, the world needs to see us enthusiastic about this stuff. Because God changes everything. Be enthusiastic. Be excited about this. Point number three, having peace when God works different than you expect. These can be some of the most difficult times when you pray and God does something different. When you pray and you're believing for somebody to be healed and they pass away. When God answers your prayers differently than you expect, that's some of the hardest times to have peace. Because in your mind, you're going, God, like, it seems out of control, but I want to tell you something. God is always in control no matter what it looks like or what you perceive it to be. God is always in control. And listen, some of you, you've told God, listen, this is how I want you to work. Here's A, B, C, D, and God goes, and aren't you so thankful he does? Here's why. Because we only see what's in front of us. God sees out way ahead of you. In fact, I want to tell you something. Before you were born, God had a plan for your life. I want you to let that sink down in right now. You might go, I know that, Pastor Jason. Do you live like that? God had a plan for your life. He laid it out before even you were thought of. Before you were a twinkle in your mom's eye. God laid out a plan for your life. Some of us, we've got a little bit off that plan, but God always brings it back. So don't be surprised when he does something different than what you expect and put your trust in him to say, God, I trust you enough that no matter what it looks like, no matter what I feel like, you cannot live by your feelings. Your feelings are only just it gives you a perspective of what you're walking through, but that is not reality most of the time.
You know, A.V. shared a really great quote.
Yeah, I was trying to remember that. What was
good,
that?
Good, I'm so glad I could hear it. I could see it. A.V. was reading a book, and she shared this quote with us yesterday. And it said, feelings are a signal, not a compass. Wow, right?
And some of us, we act like our feelings are the compass. But when God works differently than what you expect, there's no doubt there can be disappointment. But I want to tell you something. Hope does not disappoint. And so trust him enough to say, God, it doesn't make sense when those job deals don't come through that you've been praying for and you just think that that's exact. Like, God, I trust you enough. You have something better. See, because we have to believe that God has something better for us. Right? The problem is we get into this mindset that, well, man, I'm going down if it doesn't happen the way I expect it to happen. Let's read this verse together because I think it's so important. And this is from Jeremiah 29:11 through 13. He's a prophecy. It's a prophecy. I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you a future you hope for. This is my favorite verse. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. See, this Jeremiah 29:11, normally we read the first one. Normally we read 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, plans to give you a future and a hope. But we don't go past that. You'll never know what those plans are until you get to verse 12. When you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. When you come looking for me, you'll find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and want it more than anything else, let those words, what are you searching after? What are you going after right now? What are you serious? And I'm going to tell you, Pastor Sheree did such a good job talking to us about our calendar because your calendar will show you what you're searching after. And I love that, the calendar that actually gets filled. You have the fake calendar that you wish it would be, and then there's the real calendar of where you're actually spending your time. That tells you what you're serious about. In 2023, my prayer for every one of us is to be the most serious we've ever been about finding God and want it more than anything else. I'll make sure you won't be disappointed, God's decree. So no matter what your expectations are, if you get serious about finding him and you want it more than anything else, I will make sure that you are not disappointed. Friends, it's as simple as that. This is a simple message. I want to tell you, when you start to feel that hope, you start to feel that peace being robbed from you, get into his presence. Get away. Turn the worship music on. God, what are you speaking to me? Lord, I expected you to work this way, but you're working different, and I trust you through it, God. Lord, I'm not going to allow chaos into my life. I want peace. Make that decision. Some of us, we're so used to chaos, we don't know what peace looks like. We're so used to living. If you struggle with addiction, one of the biggest things you'll see is your life is in chaos all the time, and that keeps you addicted to what you're addicted to. Break off that chaos. Don't allow it in your home. Don't allow it in, and I'm going to tell you, there'll be a test this week. The minute you say, God, I'm breaking off chaos, the enemy's going to come in and try to bring it. And that's where you have to stop and say, God, okay, I'm getting back into your presence. I will not allow chaos. In fact, if you see chaos in your friends' lives, call it out on them. Why are you allowing chaos? Why are you living in chaos? What's going on with that? We have to stand for peace. And I'm going to tell you something. I think in the world we live in, some of these principles we forget because we get so sidetracked on everything else. Laser-like focus. This Christmas, we're standing for peace. It is powerful. I read a Facebook post yesterday, and we're done after this, of a lady who wrote, she said, this is the first Christmas I'm living in peace and not chaos.